The epistle for this Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose, I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour and did as before. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing about. And he said to them, why do you stand here all day idle? They said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first. Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, these last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us who have borne the burden of the day's heat. But answering one of them, he said, friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last, even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, today we have an abrupt change into the Septuagesima season. It's abrupt because we're just a little bit more than a month after the Feast of Christmas, and already we're changing to the color of violet. This is what happens when Easter is early, as it is this year. Easter is on the last day of March. If Easter is early, then Lent is early, and Septuagesima is early. So we jump into this season of Septuagesima today. But the situation is better, I would say, than the Novus Ordo calendar, which completely does away with the Septuagesima season. And so for them, there's no transition period between the Christmas season and the Lenten season. That's the whole purpose of this Septuagesima season. The church realizes that if we're going from Christmas feasting right into Lenten fasting, that's far too abrupt. So we need some sort of intermediate season, the Septuagesima season, to help us get ready from Lent, to be able to make the transition from Christmas feasting to Lenten fasting. So during this time, this short Septuagesima season, which is just 2.5 weeks, the church really wants to emphasize to us the basics of our life. And that is this truth that the most important thing for us in this life is that we save our soul. And in order to accomplish that, in order to save our soul, it's going to take work. We're going to have to labor to reach it to heaven. So in order to motivate us to this work, the church provides us with the most powerful words of the epistles of St. Paul. There's many powerful things in the epistles of St. Paul, but the three epistles of these three Sundays, you have some of the most striking language of St. Paul. Then in the gospel, you have two gospels that concern the kingdom of heaven, or reaching the kingdom of heaven, the parables about how we save our souls, and then also a gospel that where our Lord announces his passion to the apostles. So I'd like to focus today upon the parable that of the laborers in the vineyard that our Lord gives in the gospel, and try to understand how the fathers have interpreted this parable. You know that our Lord speaks of this day of work, and the day, the sense, the way the fathers understood day in the parable was in two different senses. The fathers said, we can understand day as really the entire period of human history, the day of the years between the first man, Adam, until the end of the world. Day, they said, can also be understood as the lifespan of each individual person. So if day means the whole period of the history of mankind, then what is happening is that God is calling certain figures throughout the history of mankind to enter into his vineyard, and that means to work for the salvation of souls. So it all starts with Adam, the first man. He is created by God, and God entrusts Adam with this mission of instructing his children, instructing the human race on the things that concern their eternal salvation. That's the first hour, as it were, of human history. And then you have the third hour. We can think about Noah, the prophet Noah. The sixth hour might be Moses. The ninth hour might be all of those prophets that we think about from the Old Testament, Elias, Isaiah, Daniel, you know, and so on, Ezekiel, all of those prophets, until you get to the 11th hour, which is the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord comes, and he brings salvation to mankind. And from that point until the end of the world, we really have the 11th hour. So we would be living in the 11th hour of the history of mankind. And during that period, of course, again, our Lord calls certain people. He calls his priests to preach the gospel, to labor in his vineyard. You know that our Lord says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And in this sense, the laborers represent consecrated souls who give their life to the preaching of the gospel and the leading of souls to eternal salvation. I think we see from this parable where the workers or the householder goes out and calls workers in his vineyard, that if there are not people who answer the call, if there are not vocations, if there are not priests, then quite simply, the work in the vineyard does not get done. There's no harvest that is gathered. And we understand from this the need of vocations and for the souls of the human race to be saved. There have to be people who work to call them to salvation. It's very hard to save your soul if there's no one preaching to you, if there's no one telling you the path to heaven or calling you to salvation. You know that we have a great crisis of vocations right now in the church. There's the sad situation where priests are getting older and older. The average age of priests is getting older and older. There's not the latest generation for a period of many years. The decline started in the 60s. There have been fewer and fewer men stepping forward to answer the call to the priesthood. And as a result, there's fewer and fewer people who are hearing the message of the gospel. Fewer and fewer people, as a result, saving their souls. So we have to be grateful for the vocations that we have from our own parish. We have to pray for those vocations, and we have to pray for vocations throughout the world, that the church may receive many workers in the vineyard so that the church's mission of the salvation of souls can be accomplished. The other meaning of this day, this mysterious day of the parable, can be the lifespan of each individual person, where your life is effectively a 12-hour period, and you are called to work in the vineyard. And you being called to work in the vineyard is effectively you being called to save your own soul, because the work of your own salvation is a work. It takes effort. It in fact takes a lot of effort for you to save your soul. You know that some people become a Catholic right away, the cradle Catholics. They're baptized into the Catholic faith, and like the baptism is the moment when you sort of enter the vineyard and you start working for your salvation. So some come into the vineyard at the first hour, the moment of their birth or around the time of their birth. Others come when they're like a teenager. Others come in their adult life. And then some finally come at the 11th hour. They have like so-called deathbed conversion. But what this parable, what one sense we can take from this parable is that when those who are called in the vineyard go into the vineyard, it's absolutely necessary, if they are to receive the denarius at the end of the day, that they stay working in the vineyard. Of course, if there were workers in there who went at the seventh hour or the ninth hour, whatever, and they're working, they're like, wow, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of effort. I don't think I'm up for this. So I'm going to leave the vineyard. And it's a symbol of the loss of the state of grace. They're going to leave the vineyard. And so when the time comes, the bell rings and the day is over and everybody lines up to get their pay, they're not going to be there and they're not going to receive the denarius, which represents them getting the token by which they enter into heaven. We have to stay working in the vineyard. You can think about what your own body does in order to keep you alive. Your body is always working to keep you alive. There's certain things that have to take place for you to survive. One of the things is something called homeostasis, where your body maintains a constant temperature. You know that the weather, the temperature outside of you, it fluctuates an awful lot. But no matter what the weather is doing outside of you, your body tries to keep your body temperature at 98.6 degrees. And if your body gets too hot, you're sick. You have a fever. Or if your body gets too cold, you're also sick. You're in danger of losing your life. You know, your body is constantly taking in oxygen, and the oxygen is necessary for your blood. If your body stops taking in oxygen, your blood will not be able to flow or reproduce itself. You will die. Your body is taking in food. You take in food and drink, and this nourishes your body, keeps your body going. So the point of all this is that your body is constantly working to keep you alive. And something similar has to happen for the salvation of your soul. You have to constantly work to keep yourself in the state of grace. You have to work, on the one hand, to push aside the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil are like so many diseases that are trying to come and attack your soul to take away your life, to take away your eternal life. And just as your body fights disease and is constantly trying to keep away things that would destroy your body, so too you must keep away those things. On the other hand, you have to nourish your soul. You have to positively feed your soul to keep that life of God going, for you to continue to be in the vineyard and working in that vineyard. And I hope we understand as Catholics that this is the most important thing in our lives. The most important thing for you, what determines entirely your success in this life, is your ability to maintain the life of God in your soul. If you do not keep the life of God in your soul, everything is lost. Absolutely everything is lost. Whereas if you put forth that work to maintain yourself in the state of grace, then everything is gained. And this is not just important for you. This is the most important thing for the entire world. The most important thing for the entire world is for as many people as possible to have the life of God in their soul and to maintain that life, to live the life of grace, to live the life of God while they're here on this earth. It's more important than politics. It's more important than sports. It's more important than the economy. It is the one thing necessary. If we do not maintain ourselves in the state of grace, we leave the vineyard, the bell rings, and everybody gets paid, and then the householder goes out onto the street, and he sees you there, you know, and you're not in the vineyard, and he says, "Why aren't you working in the vineyard?" No one will be able to give the excuse, "Because I was not hired." They were hired. They went working in the vineyard, and then they left the vineyard. We have to persevere. We have to continue to keep working. Meanwhile, there's people who don't even make it to the marketplace. They don't even step forward to be hired. They're like those people who are sleeping in bed their whole life. They're the people who somehow are entirely indifferent to the state of their soul and the things of God. They don't care about the things of God. They just live this life for its material aspects. They're not looking for the spiritual aspects of life. And then the bell sounds, and they never even made it to the marketplace, and they just go to hell, unfortunately. You know how we love to hear stories about deathbed conversions. There's something consoling about the mercy of God touching a soul towards the end of their life. For instance, the story of John Wayne. John Wayne, the famous actor who converted to the Catholic faith at the end of his life. His wife, he had a Hispanic wife, Josephine, who introduced him to the Catholic world, and he became good friends with the Archbishop of Panama, Archbishop Tomás Clavel. And Archbishop Clavel, he was a good bishop. He wasn't one of these modern bishops who was just like, "Hey, John, you know, you're good, I'm good, you're good where you are." But he encouraged John Wayne to become a Catholic. He kept working on him, telling him he should become a Catholic. And finally, towards the end of his life, I think it was maybe less than a year before he died, John Wayne made the decision, I'm going to become a Catholic. And the successor of Archbishop Clavel, the next Archbishop of Panama, went over to John Wayne's house and baptized him and brought him into the faith. So that's very comforting for us to hear these stories, but it is much better and certainly much safer for us to adopt the faith earlier on in our life, to work in the vineyard, and to reach a point to where we are very consistent in living the life of God. We are very consistent in remaining in that state of grace. We keep the life of God in our soul. We're constantly nourishing that life of God. So, my dear faithful, at this Septuagesima time, we remind ourselves of this essential truth of our lives. The most important thing for us is that we save our soul, and that's going to require work on our part. We're going to have to labor for us to reach eternal salvation, for us to receive that denarius of our Lord when our life ends. If we do not receive that at the end of our days, our life will have been a disaster. It will have been a catastrophe. If we do receive that denarius at the end of our days, we will possess eternal happiness. Our life will have been successful. So we also remember that we have to work perseveringly in the vineyard. We must pray. We must do spiritual reading. We must fight against the disease of sin, go to confession, make devout communions, come to Mass, hopefully even during the week, in order to keep that life of God alive in our soul. Sooner or later, the end of our life will come. and the householder will come to us. Hopefully, we will still be in the vineyard, and if we are, we will enter into eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.